Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Times have you said to someone, you should have seen that coming, right? How many times have someone said to you, you should have seen that coming? Just different events in our lives and things that are going on and just how you've lived out what you're doing in your families and your friends, your work, and so many different ways. I think that so many times that we can't see what other people can see, and that we can see about other people things that they can't see. And that's really hard to articulate. It's hard to say, but I know it's true because people have said it to me. My parents said it to me. I've said it as a parent, friends, family, I mean, spouses, all these different things. Sometimes that light is coming at us is not good, right? We think it's a nice, shiny, pretty sunrise, and what it is a train about to knock us down. And so what I want to talk about and how I want to kind of continue in that reaction versus responding today is to talk about intention versus direction. Because I just think about it. I mean, I know that sometimes you go, gosh, I just don't know why she broke up with me. You know, and I'm looking at the person going, dude, she's been breaking up with you for 6 months. All of us have seen it. All of us saw it coming. You're the only one. You're like, I don't know how I got in this financial mess. Really? I mean, you have spent more money than you have been making for the last year. You're running them up on credit cards. You're doing this. You have all these new clothes. I mean, you're working at McDonald's and you're wearing Lululemon. That doesn't compute, right? And or, gosh, I just, you know, I mean, we could just go on and on and on. Right, and so for us, how do we see that? And when we talk about where we are, how do we talk about how we get out of that? Okay, because when people come to talk to me about whatever their situations are, about whatever their problems might be, the phrase usually is, "How do I fix this?" Well, let me just say that for us, you are not a computer. You are not you're not a lawnmower, you're not a car, you're not whatever mechanical thing. We really, now listen to me, you're not going to like to hear this. You got to hear me all the way through to get to the end because you're not going to like to hear this. Really, you can't be fixed, okay? In a computer, I mean, you know, we can pull out a part and we can put a new part in. A computer has a memory chip, and if you want to add to it or take away, you can. But you can't be fixed. Number one, if you just want to talk about memory, you're not just one memory, you're a culmination of all of your experience and memories throughout life. I wish that there was just one particular one we could take out and make everything better, but we can't. We have to take that and learn from it and use it to move forward into our future. Hopefully we've learned from it and we can teach each other. I think that's one of the greatest things. That's why I always say you need to tell your story. I've heard over the last couple of weeks, one particular family said, you know, I know God didn't put me through this, and I know that it wasn't so I could just tell my story, but because of their circumstance, that's really a terrible circumstance, they've been able to help another family, another individual, get through a similar circumstance. And so we can use those to propel ourselves to follow Jesus and move forward, or we can just keep crumbling and cratering. And so for us, when we think about problems, I can't fix you, okay? But what do we do with that? Well, I want to tell you what we can do with that, and it's called getting a new direction, okay? You can't be fixed because you're complex. You are created in the divine image of God. You are a human being, and the things that are broken in us, we can't fix, but we can use them, and I'm going to say that a whole bunch. I wish I could unplug you, right? Don't you wish it just worked this way? I mean, don't you wish that you could I could unplug you and count to eight? And plug you back in, or 10, or 12, whatever the tech person tells you to do, and you could just have a fresh start. Don't you wish? How many of you, well, you've heard me say, I mean, I see Macy getting ready to go to college and the different things, and I just said the other day, I said, oh my gosh, I wish I could go back and have all that fun again. I don't remember the hurt and heartache in the middle of all that fun, but I do wish I could go back and have a redo. And there's most things I wouldn't change. I mean, I would love to go back and meet Robin again for the first time and have those first dates and all that and our first house and our wedding and just all the first time I held Macy as a baby. I mean, all those things would be fantastic, but that's not the way it works. I wish it was, because I would also like to go back and redo the areas where I could have gone, oh man, don't say that this time, right? Don't do that this time, because remember how badly that went for you last time? And really, most people would want that, but we have to take it all. And so let's don't go back, because our past is part of us. Let's go forward. And not with intention, because most of us have good intentions, but it's not about the intention, it's the direction, okay? Because really, I want to say this, intentions will lead you nowhere, okay? Intentions are just a state of mind or the way you want to do something or how you think you should do something, but directions really lead you everywhere. And so if you're not where you want to be in life, it's because you went the wrong direction. You're living in the wrong direction. And so what we need is a new direction, and that's where Jesus comes in, because Jesus talked about this. He had a great illustration. He created a story about a person, okay, that was going the wrong direction. Okay, he created a story about a person that was going the right direction. Now, most of them were true to life. They were real people, and they were real happenings, and they were real situations. But he wanted to illustrate to some people about how when you get to the wrong place in life, it really is that you're lost. Okay, and when you're lost, let me ask you this. When you're lost, and I know that you have Google and you have Apple Maps and you have Waze and you have all these different things, but if you were going to really stop, if you were going to really take out your phone, and let me just ask you this. If you were going to not drop your phone and you were going to take out your phone and you're going to ask Siri whatever you're going to ask, you know, let's see if it works. Let me see if I can turn this up quickly and make this happen. I just thought of this. It's probably going to work, and it's going to mess up my whole illustration, but that's great. That's just the way God is. He has a great sense of humor. Siri, give me a solution to Cedar Canyon. Nope, that didn't work. It said, for many decades, Cedar Canyon has been built on a great reputation as the premier Christian camp in West Texas. See, that didn't do anything. But if I ask this, Siri, give me directions to Cedar Canyon. Getting directions to Cedar Canyon Camp and Retreat Center. And guess what it did? It gave me directions. See, we don't stop when we're lost. I better stop that or it's going to just keep going the whole time, right? When we're lost, we don't stop and ask for a solution. We stop and ask for directions. Okay? When you come to me and you're looking for whatever the situation or problem is in your life and you want a fix, you should not come to me and say, I need a solution. What you come to me and do is say, I need direction. Because that's all Jesus is saying to all of us, right? He didn't say, I came to seek and fix the lost. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. And when you're lost, if you've ever been lost, I mean, let's just say you're really lost and you needed rescuing, it wasn't an I dream of Jeannie moment. And if you don't know I dream of Jeannie, look it up. I'm just gonna go. It's not an I dream of Jeannie moment where you're lost and you say, help, right? And then all of a sudden, bam, you know, somebody went, bang, and you're back home, okay? That's not how it works. Somebody that knew where they were and how to get back, they came and they got you. They came and they rescued you. And when they got there, they also didn't go, and you're back home. No, they took you on the journey the right way back to where you're not lost anymore. See, we need somebody to give us direction. We need somebody to lead us and guide us. Not to give us a solution, because that's not the way it works. It's about direction. And so two times in my life, these were two that popped up quickly. Last year, when I go mountain biking to Moab, I always go a day early and I spend a day in Durango and kind of mountain bike around there. I don't want to drive the whole 12 hours to Moab on the first day. And so I was mountain biking and I was taking these trails and everything was great. And then GPS didn't work anymore because I was so far away from a cell tower and signal. And as I'm biking, I'm like, I should really be turned by now. I can kind of see the sun through the pine trees. And I keep going and I keep going and I keep going. I'm like, This is not good. So let's say if I just keep going 10 more minutes and it's not any better, I need to turn around and go back the other way. And as I just looked, thinking, well, there should be a river over here because I remember this and I remember this. As I looked, it's nothing but trees. And I knew that I was lost. But I knew if I turned around and went back the other way that eventually, unless I couldn't figure out which fork I took, wherever. But eventually, I'm going to hit a cell signal again, and everything's going to work, right? Now then, I didn't know when I got lost. That's not the way being lost works, is it? Because if it is, there's a line that says lost, okay? And as you're going, and you go past the line, you go, oh, wait a minute, I'm lost. And what you would do is just turn around and you'd go back to being unlost and then you would go a different direction. But that's not the way it is. I remember my sister and my mom and I went to see my mom's sister, my aunt, in Alabama one year. I so hope my sister's watching online. She will have pure redemption at this point and I will never hear the end of it. But I was 16. I knew everything. And I knew how to drive, and I knew my directions and all the things. And so when we were getting ready to leave Gadsden, Alabama, okay, I knew that we needed to turn right onto the interstate. And my sister, who doesn't know anything, in my opinion, told me to turn left, even though she's 10 years older than I am, okay? No, we don't go left, we go right. No, we go left. No, we go right. Now, why she didn't tell me to get out of the car and her drive, I don't know. She just decided to go to sleep mad in the back seat. I was so glad. I was tired of arguing with her, and I knew she was wrong, and she was really irritating me. And so we drove for about an hour and a half, and it was so beautiful, and it was so wonderful, and the trees were great and everything. And all of a sudden, I see this big, giant sign that says, "Welcome to Georgia." Whoops. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to slowly creep off this interstate, and I'm going to take the turnaround, and I'm not going to wake anybody up in the car, and nobody will be none the wiser. No, as soon as we got off the interstate, she woke up. She knew it. I've not heard the end of it since. But see, I didn't know I was lost until I knew I was lost. But when we realize it, what do we do? And Jesus has the answer. He says this, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words, he'd already talked about the Sermon on the Mount, he'd talked about the poor, he'd talked about those who are crushed in the spirit, he'd talked about all of these things, those that are going to inherit the earth, I mean, just all this stuff. But he says at the end, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's just stop right there. And say, first of all, therefore, everyone who hears these words, okay, you're all hearing them. Anybody that watches online, they're gonna hear these words. And if you've ever read this passage of scripture out of Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, you've seen these words. But what he says was, and acts on them. See, it's not just about hearing them, it's about acting. Intentions are just a state of mind, but actually taking direction and moving in a direction, that's an act, okay? And that if you do that, then you're going to be compared to a wise man or woman, okay? Wise, it doesn't say smart. It doesn't say talented. It doesn't say all-knowing. It doesn't say they have all the answers. It just says that they're wise. For me, it would have been wise to listen to my sister who was 10 years older that probably did know and does know, God, that kills me to say that, more than I do, okay? And if I would have been wise, I would have listened. If I'd have been wise, I would have stopped and asked for directions. If I'd have been wise, see, but it's a person who built his house on the rock. And the people that were hearing this message, they knew what this meant, okay? Now, we don't build houses. Some of you may. I don't think anybody in here is a house builder, but we don't build houses. So number one, we don't really grasp that concept. But number two, we don't build anything on rock, especially in West Texas, okay? I mean, if I don't know how far you have to go to hit rock in West Texas, but for most places, it's a long way. I know you feel like you hit rock, but that's just really dirt and caliche. It's not rock. And so what does that mean? It means it's hard work. It's hard work to build anything on the rock. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes investment. It's expensive. I mean, you have to give everything to it if you're going to build on the rock. But once you do, it's there. It's steady, it's steadfast, and it's not going to go anywhere, okay? It may beat some of the wood off the house. It may rip a shingle off when a storm comes, but the foundation and the sturdiness is going to stay forever. It can weather the storms. That's what he's talking about. Because when you hear that, it's not about being talented. It's not about being smart. It's about being wise. It's about taking the direction. It's about doing what God's called you to do in your life, and it's about putting those things into practice. But when the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And so to build anything on the rock that's going to last, it just takes time. It's a process. Okay, you can't I dream of Jeannie a house. You can't I dream of Jeannie a relationship. You can't suddenly fix things that are broken like that. It's a process to rebuild. It's a process to rebuild, and I'll get to that. But then the foolish man, right? Okay, the foolish person, what did they say? Everyone hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man that built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell. And great was its fall. Not just fell, but I mean, it says it was a disaster. It was horrible. It was catastrophic. It was just gone. And so when you think about that in your life, see, Jesus is really showing us these things because he's given us a clue of how to live. He's given us a clue about direction. And somebody, somewhere, someday, sometime is going to ask you to help them fix whatever is broken in their life. And you can't fix it. And you need to tell them that they can't fix it. I tell people, I can't fix that, but I can help you get new direction and continue on your journey and to try to avoid those situations in the future, because that's what God is doing here. This is not about being a soothsayer. It's not about being a fortune teller or anything like that. But this is God's best chance for us to be able to predict your future. Because if you will just build your house on the rock, on the wise way, and if you'll be wise and you'll pray through those and think through those before you act, it will last. I mean, that's a prediction of your future. And I know you know people right now, you go, everything they do turns to gold. They are so lucky and they didn't know. Some people are lucky, but if you look back in their life, I mean, I know that you're lucky if you pick the right lottery numbers. Okay, that's luck. Okay, those are just odds and chances and that kind of thing. But for the everything else, it's usually about how they have built their life up to this point, how they have invested, how they have taught themselves, how they have learned from others, how they have been disciplined, how they went to school, whether it was a trade school or somebody taught them, or they went to college, or they went to business school, or they learned from somebody, and they invested their time and effort and energy into that. They didn't halfway do it. They didn't take the shortcuts. They did the hard work. You can't fix them, but you can help them, okay? And so you need to help people along this journey, because when the problem that you find yourself in suddenly appears, it's not a sudden problem. It's been brewing. It's been there. Are you looking? okay? Because sometimes it's right there in front of us. We just choose not to see it. See, all of y'all saw it, whatever the problem was in my own life, whatever you want to make up right now, you may have seen it going around and you may have been trying to tell me and you're like, how did you not see that? It was right there. I just didn't see it because I chose not to see it. I chose not to do the hard work. I chose to ignore the signs. I chose. Most usually when we find ourselves lost, it's because of a choice. I'm still saying there are circumstances, and I can't think of them now, but there are circumstances that maybe it wasn't your choices, but still, how do you get unlost? How do you find yourself to be saved by Christ and get out of those situations? A lot of people say, well, I just need to go. I know these are terrible problems. My marriage is in trouble. I'm financially ruined. I failed out of school. I did all of these things. I just need to go find myself. You ever heard anybody say that? I heard so-and-so, they dropped out of school. They're going to, they call it, I love this. Now, nobody get me if your kids are doing this or if you're doing this. It's just funny to me. I know Robin's like, great, emails and phone calls, here they come. Well, they failed out of school and they're going to take a gap year to go find themselves, to figure out what they want to do. Our marriage is falling apart and our marriage is trouble. We're going to separate so we can go find ourselves. Well, I'm going to have to file bankruptcy because I did all these things wrong, and if I'll just go find myself, I can fix it all. You know what's going to happen when you go find yourself? You're going to find the person that got you lost in the first place. Amen? I know that's so hard to hear. Don't give me a hard time about the gap year. It's just so hard to hear. Okay? It's hard for me to say I was wrong. It's hard for me to say, yes, I got myself into this place. It's hard for me to say I was a jerk. It's hard for me to say that I wasn't living in the right direction. Those are hard things to say. They are humbling, and they are hard. I've had to say them. I've had to say that it's my fault, and I've had to say I have to change direction, right? Do you know why if I go back and I find the same person that got me lost in the first place doesn't work? Because I've been that person that failed out of school. Y'all have heard me say I made the dean's list when I went to college. It was the list that said don't come back. See, and why? Because I didn't go to class. I didn't study. I didn't do these things. I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing. And when someone's lost and they say, I need you to help me fix this, and I say, it's a process. We have to rebuild. We have to go back, or not really go back. Starting today, we have to do all the things that you didn't do in the first place. And so guess what? When I went back to school, this is not bragging. When I went back to school, I was number two in the class. Because I did all the things right that I didn't do the first time. When I went back to school, I get a little plaque that says outstanding whatever student, all the things. Because when I went back, I was the wise one, not the foolish one. I did all the things that I was supposed to do. See, that's what God is talking about. He goes, the best predictor of your future is what you're building today. The best predictor of your future is what you're building today. If you say, I've been working 10 years to get in this place, and you think I'm going to fix you in 5 minutes? We've been married 25 years, and oh my gosh, we have only had one fight in 25 years. I've heard this. Really? You've just had one fight in 25 years? Yep, it started about a week after we got married, and it's never stopped. And you think that 1 hour of advice from me is going to fix 25 years. See, no, you have to start doing the things you should have done in the beginning to move forward into the future. That's what Jesus is saying right here. He created this. He wanted us to have some predictability in life. All of us say, I wish I could know the future. You can, just a little bit. You really can if you just build in the right way. If you're building on the sand and the rains came, Robin and I, we were talking last night. I said, I've tried. There's a Sunday school song, a Sunday school lesson, if you grew up in a very traditional Sunday school setting, that goes along with this verse. Something about when the rains came down and the waters rose up. Does anybody know this song? Somebody singing it? What is it? You ready to sing? When the rains came down and the floods came up. I'm singing the Hokey Pokey. I don't know why. Put your left foot in. I don't know. There's a song. Right? I mean, we're taught this. Some of us are taught this because Jesus wanted to give us some predictability. We need to help people understand from this point on, there can be some predictability. I can't fix this, but I can help you move forward in this. And moving forward in this is not abandoning ship. Okay, and it's a process. I've told y'all several times over about a block from our house in our neighborhood, somebody's house just burned to the ground. So sad, so tragic, so terrible. And listen to me, they cleaned off the foundation, they started rebuilding. You know what? They're still rebuilding. It's taken them weeks. You know, they put up the 2x4s and the studs went up, they framed the roof out, they did all this stuff, and they put the outer walls up, they put up the plywood, and they put on the outer sheathing that goes around it, and they're moving right along. The bricks have been in the driveway from day one. Folks, they could not go to that house and just put up the bricks and walk in and everything be fine. You have to do it in order. You have to do it the right way. And we live in a society that we don't want to do all those steps, right? We want to go from here to here immediately, right? You want to graduate high school and you want to make $75,000 a year, right? Because that's what so-and-so is making. Well, it took them 20 years to get to that point, right? You can't just have a foundation and put up a front door and open the front door and walk in and be home, right? You have to build, and it takes time. It takes time. No, I don't want time. I want you to fix it. I'm sorry. It takes time. And so today, I want you to hear this. Jesus knows. God knows what you're going to. He sees your lostness. He sees what you're in right now. But to abandon ship and to throw away your relationships, to abandon ship and just be in financial ruin and say, I just want to start all over. I don't want to have to deal with this. To look at your whatever process you're in right now and say, I'm just going to quit and I'm going to go find myself. That's not what Jesus wants for you. What Jesus wants for you is to keep moving forward, but in His direction. Okay, to just start following Him. And I've started saying this to some people, and I haven't worked it out in my head because you can argue with me and then I have to go into a lot of theology. But when it comes to Christ, it's not really fake it till you make it, but it is follow until you know Him. Okay, you don't have to believe today. I just want you to start following Him. Okay, you don't have to be totally unlost and have your whole life together. I just want you to start following Him, because if you follow Him, He's going to lead you to the right place. He's going to lead you out of your lostness. I promise. It may take a while, okay? You may argue with Him along the way, and He may have to call you back to Himself, but if you'll just keep following Him, just keep following and keep following and keep following, you will eventually find your way out of the mess that you are in. And here's what Jesus thinks about your lostness. Boy, and I believe this with all my heart, is the very fact that God's heart is broken for our lostness. Not just salvation lostness, those that don't know Christ and those that are lost eternally, but about the lostness of just where you are and the hurt and the heartache that it's causing you right now. I remember, I'll try to get through this story. I think I've told this story 3 or 4 times in my whole life. But when I was, 16, 17, 18, I don't remember how old I was, but I was a lifeguard in Plainview, and there was an intersection right outside the swimming pool called 16th and Ennis. Okay, I lived on Ennis about a block down from the pool. I grew up in that pool. I loved that neighborhood. But Ennis was Frankfort Avenue with no stoplights. I mean, people just fly down that road from 5th Street all the way to the interstate. I mean, there's just one straight road. There were no stop signs, and everybody was going really fast. And so on that road, though, there were other intersections, and they did have stop signs, okay? And so one day, I'm on the lifeguard stand, and I can see that intersection. I see a little boy riding his bike. So here's a park, so I can see the whole road, and then there's houses, and you can't see the road anymore. But I see this little boy coming down, and he's coming towards the road. Man, he's just pedaling as fast as he possibly can, and, man, he's oblivious, okay? I'm a kid. I'm watching this kid, and I go, he's not looking at anything. I don't know how I knew, probably because I did it all the time. He was just going to fly through that stop sign, fly through that intersection. But I could also see a car coming. And I knew that if he didn't see that, this is what was going to happen. That car was going to hit him. And sure enough, as he went through that intersection, here came that car and hit him. Knocked him, and he went flying, and his bike was destroyed and all the things. Okay, and so let me jump to the end of that story real quick, is that I don't know how. He went to the hospital, an ambulance picked him up, and there was blood everywhere and all that, but he was fine. Okay, so you can rest easy tonight and sleep. Okay, but here's the deal. When I saw him, and I saw him going, even at my impetuous 16, 17-year-old attitude and sarcasm that has only grown over time, amen, y'all know me, is I didn't look at that kid and go, look at that idiot, he's about to get hit, right? I didn't say that. I didn't say, oh my gosh, everybody watch this. I didn't say that either. All I could think of was, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be tragic. I have chill bumps. I remember I jumped the fence. I climbed the fence out of the swim pool and ran across that park to try to help whatever I could. I mean, I remember all that. I remember sitting there, and he was a little Hispanic boy. I can still see his face, his little round face and his bloody hair. I can see all of that, even to this day. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I didn't say, you stupid idiot, why did you do that? I didn't say that. I didn't say, didn't you see the stop sign? The state law says that you have to stop at a stop sign. It's there for your own good. I didn't say that either. It was just that my heart was broke in that very moment just for that. And I saw it coming. Great lesson for me that very day. Probably just a few days after that. I remember this too, and I'll tell you that story some other day. Is God told me that's exactly how I see you. Is I'm not going to stop, because you have free will. I'm not going to stop these things. But I see them coming, and it breaks my heart. See, he wants to give us new direction. He wants to show us. Not about intentions. That little boy's intentions, man, he was just having a good old time riding that bike. I mean, that boy was pedaling like it was his job. He was having so much fun. I mean, and I remember he was kind of doing like this, and he's just pedaling away. And it broke my heart before it ever happened. See, that's what God's looking at today. He goes, just whatever situation you're in, his heart is broken for you. And he wants to move forward with you. And all you have to do is just follow him. He'll lead you out of the wilderness. It may take time. 25 years walking into a forest, you're not going to get out tomorrow. 25 years, 10 weeks, a day, I don't know what it is for you, but it's not going to be instantaneous, and we have to do the hard work of building on the rock. And if you built on the sand and suddenly the rock shows up, that's where you start building. And that's what Jesus is saying, is we have to do this together. And I can't fix you, but here's what I'm committed to always. I'm willing to walk that journey with you. I don't want to be your preacher. I say this all the time. I want to be your pastor. I want to walk this journey of faith with you to follow Jesus. Wherever he's going to lead us, that's what I want to do. And it's not going to be easy every day. But it is going to be a journey. And it is going to be direction. And that's what he wants for you. So I just want to give us, worship team, come on up. Turn those house lights down. Here's what I want to do. Boy, you are either in a place that you're lost, or you know somebody today, okay? You know somebody today that's lost. And maybe you're saying right now, oh my gosh, I wish so-and-so was here. I wish he could, wish they could hear this. I wish she could hear this. I wish he could hear this. I hope they're watching online. You know what you can do? Two things. One of them right now is you can come to this altar up here and you can intercede. You can pray for them. The second thing you can do, just thought of this, is you can point them to this this YouTube channel, our Facebook page, YouTube, whatever, so they can hear this. We need direction. I need direction. Man, there are kids coming to camp this week. We put out a questionnaire this year, the first time ever, for parents and kids to answer before those kids came to camp, asking about what they were dealing with in life. These are fourth, fifth, and sixth graders that are dealing with things that would just make your stomach turn. I can't even fathom it. We need to pray for them. Their families need prayer. We need prayer. You need prayer. Somebody that you know that you're connected to needs to hear the direction of Christ for their life. And it's going to be up to you. I'm just telling you, I'm putting it off on you. It is up to you to say, not in a funny way like I normally say, you need Jesus. You can't fix this. You can't fix your finances on your own. It's going to take time. Can't fix your GPA on time. It's going to take time. You can't fix your marriage today, but your marriage can be restored. It can be healed, and it's going to take time. You just have to do the hard work. So please, boy, I'm just, for all those that need it and all those that know somebody who needs it, this is your time up here to really just lift them up and to lift yourselves up to the Lord. Father God, matter of fact, why don't y'all just play for a minute without any words, and let's just spend some time in prayer. That important. That important. Somebody right now knows somebody that's got a marriage in trouble. You need to be praying for them. There's somebody that you know, actually, nope. There's somebody that's living in isolation because of hurt and heartache. You need Jesus to lead you out of that isolation. Someone's got a story of depression and just a lot of heartache, and Jesus is leading you out of that, and you've had new life recently. You need to give thanks to God for that, but you need to tell your story to someone. Some of you got some kids that are lost. Call this pastoral guilt. You can call it whatever you want to. You should be up here praying for them. It is that important. It is that important. Life decisions. You need Jesus. How am I not going to mess up like I've messed up all of my life? You need Jesus. How am I not going to make the same decisions again that got me lost? You need Jesus. Hear Jesus say that I didn't come to seek and fix you. I came to save you. And I am the way. Thank you, Jesus. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by following me. God, I pray for camp this week. All those kids that are coming, counselors that are coming. Some of those are teenagers. Some of those are college students. Some of those are adults. Some of those are pastors and ministers already. Lord, I pray that your spirit would just be heavy. Lord, even in their homes right now, some of them are already driving, Father, to get to camp. Some of them are coming halfway today, and they're going to drive the rest of the way tomorrow. Lord, all the volunteers are getting ready and making preparations. Lord, I pray that your spirit would just lead each and every one of them. Lord, as they drive into that canyon, and maybe even before they get there, Lord, that they would know that there's just a newness of direction in life. Lord, for those kids, they're coming to play. They're coming to have a good time. They're coming to sing. They're coming to swim and to hike. Lord, in the midst of all that, in their little worlds, Lord, you become real to them. You become alive to them. You become life-changing to them. Lord, you come to save them and to give them direction for the rest of their life. Let it be so for them and for all of us, for me, in the name of Christ. If you'll agree with that, if you are committed to that, then just say amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.